Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, and joining us, as usual, is the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, superfood guru himself, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Scott. Thank you for the intro.
It was an exciting week for me, Martin, because as many of our listeners, longtime listeners, would probably remember, we don't live in the same place, and so we do these shows remotely. One of us is remote, the other is local, depending on which way you want to look at it. And
virtual.
We are virtual. And I had the pleasure of spending 4 days with you and your lovely wife, Maureen, in your hometown there. And it was just a wonderful experience. And you introduced me to a whole concoction of superfoods. And we actually have done some videos, and we're in the process of editing them. So we'll let you know when they're available. And you'll see Martin creating a magnificent superfood. And we thought we would spend the next couple episodes delving into this new movement that's occurring with superfoods.
Indeed, it's well worth sharing with the world.
So what is a superfood, Martin?
Well, superfood is a word of English language combined from two roots, super and food. It's been abused terribly. You know, back in 1989, when Jivari Oberon opened up with his Excella, he is the grandfather, the inventor of that concept, of the superfood concept. He invented the mix. It was the first 12-ingredient blend that went to the market. And he tells me that he is the one who invented it. I cannot prove it or disprove it. I don't know if there was anybody before him that did it.
Right.
But that's where it started, so I believe. And then, since then, people have been sort of stealing the word superfood and using it in different ways. You know, and somebody will take chlorella and call it superfood because it is really a superfood. And somebody else will say, well, superfood is a blend of high value nutrients put together in such way that it's more than just ordinary food. You know, if you go for dinner somewhere for your, salad and something with it, you're eating food. But if I somehow spice it up, it becomes superfood. I guess the same way as ordinary bowl becomes a super bowl.
Right. So in terms of our conversation, how do we define a superfood?
So the way I think about it is that you need to combine things that nature wouldn't have on its own, that you need to actually somehow leverage the possibilities beyond of what an ordinary farmer would be able to grow on his farm and put on his table.
Okay. So one of the ways I look at it is, because many times you've mentioned things like, you know, the carrots that are grown in the fields and are on the grocery store shelf, or the apples or even the oranges have a very small percentage of the nutrients in them that they had, sadly, 100 years ago. So when I look at something like superfoods, what I think of are foods that are nutrient dense. So in other words, they're giving me a lot of the minerals that my average diet wouldn't. They're giving me a lot of the enzymes my average diet wouldn't, so most of the time they're raw. And they're giving me all the micronutrients that my average diet probably wouldn't without the toxic pesticides and fertilizers and all the rest of it that my average diet would.
Makes sense. It sounds about right. We could probably come with some other names, you know, better than regular, really well blended, splendidly blended foods.
Right. So you've added a number of superfoods to the Life Enthusiast Co-op website, I've noticed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this would be a result of a fairly lengthy search of trying to come up with one source rather than many of a lot of these high-value foods. that we could bring to people simply in a way that they could easily deal with. One of the biggest challenges for people is just putting it all together.
Right. And I think the other challenge, too, is we have so much marketing hype going on over different, get this berry or get that.
The superfood of the month.
The superfood of the month. And then, it's part of it is, well, like, how did it get from wherever it was grown here? What did they do in the process? And also, what was it like where it was grown? And like one of the ones that I know, I'm just picking this sort of out of the air, is the goji berries that you've got now. And these are from a pristine area within a province in China. And this particular area, people have grown the goji berries for centuries, but they've grown them like wild. It's not
It's not farmed. It's wild crafted. It's the same way as a blueberry can be wild crafted. You go into the bush and you pick it.
Right. Or you get it from a farm where there's just piles and piles and rows, right?
But, where I grew up in the Czech Republic, nobody planted blueberries the way they're planted here in Canada or United States. We just went into the bush and picked blueberries. And they were there in the undergrowth. And, it just carpeted the entire pine forest. There was blueberries on the ground.
Yeah.
So I suspect that these wild-crafted gojis are simply growing there in the nature because that's their natural environment, and you just go and pick them.
What a concept.
Right. Well, I guess we should define. Wild-crafted means as nature would make it. Past that would be biodynamically grown, where you try and replenish the soil in a manner that doesn't weaken it. Some people would say organic, but I don't like organic anymore because it's been completely grabbed by the mainstream food production. These days you can have the label organic on stuff that has no business calling itself ecological.
Right.
So,
These goji berries. Just to give you an example of the difference between this and sort of, and what you've been talking about in terms of the industrial agricultural people, these particular goji berries have been tested for 400 different chemicals, and these chemicals are used in agriculture and processing. And all test results concluded that no chemicals were detected. So, it's mentioned before, it's a pristine area, a province in China where there's not a lot of agricultural or spraying and that sort of stuff going on, and it's all wild. They're wild berries; they grow in the wild, and that's where it comes from. So, this whole line of superfoods that you're introducing have this sort of story where they're, grown wild in the Andes and they're picked up there, or they're. And of course, the problem with this is like, how do you find these things, right? I mean, if there's one superfood that you get from the, from an obscure island in the Philippines, and another you get from the peaks of the Andes, and another you get from an obscure Chinese province.
Right, and there comes a really important job for somebody. You need to have a fanatic. You need to have somebody who's just so willing to scour all corners of the earth and go see for himself or herself what the farmers are actually doing, to double check that they're not just telling you a story. Because these days, when I was shopping for ingredients in South America, I said, well, can I get it in organic? And they said, of course, yeah, we can get an organic certificate for anything. It's not hard to buy. So you actually need to have the budget to go and see for yourself. And in case of these ultimate superfoods, the fellow that's at the helm, Robert Williams, he's had this sort of passion, and he was lucky enough to partner up with a company that had very deep pockets and the willingness to follow his vision and just go for the best.
Right.
So they gave him the budget and the freedom to go and find it. And there he goes. He finds the best coconut in the Philippines, or The great spirulina, it comes from India. Or the great chlorella, it comes from Taiwan. Or the cacao that they have, that comes from Ecuador. And their chia comes from Mexico, and on. The list is very long of all these wonderful ingredients. They're from around the planet, and each one of them has been checked for purity, ecology, content, and so on.
Right, right. And so we went through an amazing process of taking, you know, a teaspoon of this and a tablespoon of that and mixing them all together to create our own superfood smoothie.
Right. Yes, everybody is able to design their own because, I separate these foods into two groups. One I call foods and the other one I call herbs. And the herbs is more like spice or more like flavoring or you use them in a teaspoon quantity. The foods, they are more the calorie source or macronutrient, and those you would use in tablespoon or handful quantities. And the ones that I would use in small amounts would be things like cacao powder, because it's quite intense. Things that I would call food would be something like chia or quinoa or the spirulina or things like that.
Cool. Right. So let's talk about a couple of these. And actually, the one I've clicked on the Life Enthusiast website is the agave, A-G-A-V-E powder. And the reason I want to kind of talk about that one is it's a natural sweetener. And, of course, those of us who have sweet tooths and a lot of people with diabetes have a problem with sugar.
Okay, so let me just preamble anything that you're going to say with the following. This agave powder is primarily the inulin. It's primarily the prebiotic that's required in your digestive system. It is not the side that we stock is not the sugar. That's from which the sugar is extracted. And to further explain it, agave is a wonderful plant from whose juice people make tequila.
Right.
So think tequila. Anything booze needs to be made from sweet things. So when you extract the sweet juice from agave, you can use that sweet juice and thicken it the same way you would thicken sugarcane juice to make sugar, or maple sap to make maple syrup, or beet juice to make sugar beet sugar. So you can actually take the agave syrup, and I have chosen not to list that. I don't think that anybody should be using sweetener at that intensity. So
Right. Even
though this company offers it, I've chosen not to do it.
So what you have is a powdered agave powder.
Right, which is the fibrous leftovers after the sugar has been extracted. It's still plenty sweet, but its primary application is as the prebiotic, which is what your digestive system requires and your probiotic bacteria live on, thrive on.
So this is this improves the health of my intestines and my immune system.
Exactly.
Because one of the things we talk about a lot is people have a lot of candida and they have a lot of bad bacteria in their gut. And
right.
That causes a lot of problems. So while it has a sweet taste to us, it doesn't have the overpowering sugar that is a problem, which causes weight gain and all the rest of it, and it puts your insulin out of whack and everything else. Is that
right?
Can help with that.
And feeds your candida.
It feeds the candida.
The sugar would. This doesn't.
Oh, right. Sugar would feed the candida, right. So we starve the candida. We've got the sweets that we want. That sounds like a good deal.
It's a fantastic deal. And people just don't quite understand it, you know. Like, they don't know what to do with it because... powder. Well, You know, it's like you're thinking, well, this is the sawdust. You know, this is what's left over in an apple after you've taken the juice off of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a similar product, the high-pectin apple powder, which is a apple fiber, which is a similar idea, right?
Right.
So this is actually the most valuable part of the plant.
And most people want the least valuable part, which is the mounds of white processed sugar.
Or the tequila.
Or the tequila, right. Cool. Well, let's talk about another one. There's, you had mentioned, I think, chlorella earlier, and there's a chlorella product here as well.
Indeed, yes.
So what is chlorella?
Chlorella is an algae. It grows, the chlorella grows in lake water, as in not in the ocean, it grows in lakes, and you feed it minerals. It essentially lives on sewage, if you will, but that's not what you want. You don't want chlorella that people have fed sewage to. You want to get chlorella that people have fed decent nutrition to. This chlorella comes from Taiwan, where the growing conditions are optimal, and it's a wonderful product. It's available in multiple species. One of them is known as the pyrenoidosa, that has a very thick cell walls that need to be either cracked, as the famous Japanese cracked wall chlorella, or as this system would use it, we use enzymes to thin the wall out. Anyway, the cell walls are really good at scrubbing toxins out of the body, and the insides are, as the name would give away, dairy rich in chlorophyll. That's where chlorella got its name.
Right.
And it's mineral rich and nutrient rich. It's very high nutrient value food.
So it would be very effective in cleansing our bodies with the toxins and the heavy metals. And
yes.
It would also help repair cells and also promote the growth of healthy bacteria again in our bowel.
Right, because when you feed your cells the right nutrients, the logical conclusion is good things will happen.
Right, right.
So yes, chlorella is great. Of the other, you know, its cousin is spirulina, or not cousin biologically, but spirulina grows in brackish water, so that would be partly salty water. And it's spirulina is the most dense source of protein from the plant world. So if somebody is the body type that requires high amounts of protein and fat, spirulina is pretty much the only ticket for vegetarians. You need to eat large quantities of that, probably together with coconut fat. Coconut oil, as it's called.
Right.
But you know, for instance, take something like quinoa. You know, when you were here, we made this Mediterranean salad, and instead of wheat bulgur, we made it with quinoa for a grain.
It was delicious.
Right. I remember you liked it. And so the fun thing is this. Quinoa is a great grain that has no gluten and is high in protein, but that protein is not gluten. So even the group 2 people, you know, the ones that need to stay away from all the gluten foods, can eat quinoa safely and enjoy it.
Right.
So now what? You know, what type of grain do you want? You want grain that's been grown in soils that are richly mineralized. Not soils that have been whipped by NPK fertilizer for 200 years.
Right. One of the interesting things, too, about this quinoa is that it has a natural coating of... the natural coating has a bitter taste to pests and bugs, so they don't actually have to use pesticides on it to protect the crop because the bugs just don't like eating it.
Right. Yes. Yeah, it's not, rodents don't go for it, so you don't have to spray pesticides, and bugs don't go for it, so indeed.
Yeah.
And another important feature is that this particular specific ultimate raw organic tricolor quinoa is grown in a volcanic soil region, meaning these are young soils. They are still rich in a lot of minerals.
Right, right. And it's 12,000 feet above sea level and in a remote area, so you don't, not likely going to be getting a lot of blowing in toxins from other places.
Right. So you can go out to your friendly local store and you can buy ordinary quinoa, you know, like basic lowlands quinoa that's available, or industrial agriculture grown quinoa. That's fine. Still better than wheat or still better than barley. But you can also try this tricolor high mountain quinoa.
And you'll notice a huge difference.
Oh, yes. No question. No question there. And the other one that we tried is chia. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah, chia. That was quite amazing.
The instant grain that you don't have to cook.
And yeah, it was like making a pudding. We took a handful of chia and we put it in a bowl, put water in it, and in about 5 or 10 minutes it started getting like pudding substance, texture.
Yes.
It was quite amazing.
Yes. So there. We have it listed as white chia seeds. Chia is available either in the black variety or the white variety. The white variety has a little higher, well, not a little, a 30% better density of essential fatty acids, omega-3s, and proteins. So again, this is a really good grain. Even though it's a carbohydrate, it's actually quite rich in proteins and surprisingly rich in the essential fatty acids. So especially vegetarians will enjoy something like this because it's a much better source of food than your basic white rice.
Right. And this particular one is harvested in southern Mexico, and it's what the ancient Aztecs used to eat all the time. And they loved it so much that it was used as currency, and if they had to give a tribute to the king, that's what they gave.
Yes, it's really interesting when you read the stories, like the Aztec warriors would carry their own food, which was chia. And all you need is, you know, probably a cracked coconut shell for any other dish. You put a handful of chia in it, put some water in it that you have to find locally, let it sit for a while, and you have a decent tasting meal of high calorie, high nutrient density that's going to sustain you really well. I mean, what an improvement over the sea rations.
Yeah, that's right. The other one that was really interesting that I wanted to make sure we touched on was the cacao beans.
All right, cacao, yes,
cacao.
However you want.
You say
yeah.
Tomato, I say tomato.
Yeah, enjoy yourself that way. it's spelled the same way as cocoa or backwards. And yes, so cacao is available raw. As opposed to the roasted product. You know, like the way people know chocolate, which comes from cacao, you only know it in its roasted state. But what we used was the raw state. Sort of like the difference between what could I think of raw versus cooked or roasted? I guess coffee's like that too. You'd wonder, well, what does it taste like before it's roasted?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just not to distract too much. So we have it available either as whole beans, which is the most holistic. We have it as nibs, which would be cracked and crushed bits, and also as powder. So people who want to do baking, of course, it's available as powder too.
Mm, right.
But the point is, right? The point is that this is a high nutrient density, rich in antioxidants, just a fantastic source of stimulating nutrients.
Yeah, and it has that chocolate flavor. Like you would, you just throw one into the smoothie.
Yeah, one whole bean.
One whole bean, and it was just had this nice hint of chocolate in there.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, yeah, it overpowers a lot of the unpleasant tastes from all the other stuff that I threw in.
Yeah, because it tasted delicious.
Yeah, will we have time to cover all the herbs today, or will we need to leave it for the next week?
I think we're just about running out of time now, so it'll have to be next week.
Okay, so let me mention a couple other things that I class in food. You know, we have, for instance, yacon, spelled with a Y, Y-A-C-O-N. Yacon powder is the ultimate carbohydrate for diabetics because it doesn't raise your blood sugar and yet provides you with carbs. Or another thing is mesquite powder. Mesquite from the, you know, the mesquite bush chaparral. It's just fantastic. It's a flavoring agent. It sort of tastes something between coffee, chocolate, and cinnamon. It's just the most delicious flavor. And I throw it into, for instance, I make soaked almonds. I showed you that, right?
Yes.
So when you take soaked almonds, you can actually throw them into the blender and make like an almond paste out of it, and you can flavor it with anything you want. I love the mesquite flavor in that. And one other one worth mentioning is this lucuma, L-U-C-U-M-A, which is, again, another wonderful, nutritious flavoring.
But these aren't just flavoring. They're, like you said, nutritious, right? And for an example,
oh, yes.
So these are high in the beta-carotene and many of the B vitamins and iron, with lots of calcium and phosphorus, for example. So
right. Oh yeah. Not to be underestimated. These are functional foods.
Right.
But they taste great.
It's not like when you go to the Dairy Queen and say you want the sprinkles on your ice cream. There's a flavor sensation and a texture and everything else, but there's no nutritional value in it.
Yeah, well stated. Very well stated. So that's the sort of thing.
Right. So, Martin, if somebody wanted to learn more about these superfoods and where they can get them, what should they do?
They're available on our website, Life Enthusiast, life-enthusiast.com, under the brand Ultimate Superfoods. And they're also put in different categories, depending on which they are. They could be under whole foods or flavorings or this and that, but under the brand Ultimate Superfoods, you'll see them all in one pile.
Cool.
And if at all you get confused about what to do and how, call us. We're at 1-866-543-3388. So this is coming to the end of our podcast today, are we?
We are, yes.
So let's part with Life Enthusiast Kua, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thank you so much for listening.